The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Oracle. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever. Do more and spend less like some of the world's most successful companies. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/LinkedIn Podcast Network.
LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to the Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, founder and CEO of diverseandengage.com. I am a LinkedIn top voice and a DEI thought leader, and I'm here with my co-host, Mita. Hey there, Mita.
Hey there, DC Marshall. I'm Mita Malik. I'm a LinkedIn top voice, a business leader, a mom, and now an author. My new book, Reimagine Inclusion, Debunking 13 Myths to Transform Your Workplace, is available on Amazon to pre-order right now.
And if you are new to the show, Mita and I, we started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces. From my perspective as a Black woman, and from Mita, her view as a South Asian woman, here's how this happens. At the table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out. And then we share tips on not only how to survive, but how do you thrive in organizations wherever you are? So, Mita, what are we talking about on today's show?
Oh, friend, I saved another good one for you. So you have probably heard Dee say this before. We've sacrificed our friendship for this podcast. We save everything for the podcast, all of the juicy details you are hearing live. So here's an article I read in BBC, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. How to spot love bombing when companies come on too strong. How to spot love bombing when companies come on too strong. We're going to share some stories, spill some tea, leave some tips. You all can't see, but Dee's about to fall out of her chair.
I am.
Another one, another term that you have found that you want to talk about today.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? I guess people are giving language and shape and I guess expressing themselves, but I don't know. Again, you know where I start. I always, you know, want to know, who did it come from? Which side of the table did it come from? Inside of the corporation or outside of the corporation? And I am more lenient or I would say accepting of when Gen Pop redefines and reestablishes. Yes. I really am. I'm accepting, even if I don't particularly care for it, I'm like, nope, let Gen Pop, let us own and label and language how we are feeling and what we want for ourselves. It's when it comes from inside of the organization, it's always not as easy for me to accept. Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about it.
Let me tell you where the term comes from. Again, this is a BBC piece. Love bombing. Right? It's generally associated with dating. Okay, so back in the day when I loved clubbing and dancing, right? And Dee's like, okay, but you know, you might meet someone once and then he's, hey, beautiful, hey, gorgeous, texting you, calling you. You're like, I only met you once in the dark and the club was about to close. And I don't think you saw me very well and I didn't see you very well. So where is all this like, love coming from, right? Like,
yeah,
grand gestures, a lot of praise, and then all of a sudden you might actually feel indebted to the person, or you might just feel like, oh, this is too much. But it's also applicable to companies and our relationship with their workplaces. So this has happened to me years ago. Get called from like a big financial institution, won't name them, and they seem obsessed with me. They're following me on LinkedIn. They're reading my HBR pieces. They're dropping me love notes. The recruiter, we think this would be a great role for you. I'm like, yeah, I'm not interested. We re-scoped the role. Would you meet with this person? They're just like, and so they just keep showering the praise. I end up going through 8 rounds of interviews. And during the 8 rounds of interviews, that's like this prolonged process, they keep sending me love notes along the way. Oh, you met with Dee. I heard great things. Dee loved your conversation. Oh, you met with Stephanie. Stephanie was singing your praises. I mean, okay. And then, are you ready?
Oh, God. I hate this, the way this is ending. I hate it. I think you told me about this. This is a long, long time ago. Go.
I never hear from them again. Bye-bye. I never hear from them again. 3 months go by. Well, where'd all that love for me go? I thought you loved me. I thought you were fun. Disappeared. Do you know what I did?
What'd you do?
I had the recruiter's email, right? I did not have the hiring manager's email, the executive. I went through my network, got the email, and wrote to DC Marshall. And I said, hi, DC Marshall. I hope you're doing well. It's been a few months since we connected. From my end, I would really appreciate some feedback on how you felt the process went, since I know your team and I, as a candidate, invested a lot of time into this process. I wish you all the best. This woman wrote me, they wrote me back right away mortified. They couldn't believe that nobody had closed the loop, because it's the, you know, budgets get cut. There's always a reason, and I respect the reason. Just don't ghost. Yep. Just tell the people, especially if you've been love bombing. If you've been telling me how amazing I am, and then you just disappear, you're like, what? Yeah, but I was like, not going to let that go. So I found the email, and I wrote to them. And I was just like you said, just would love some feedback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she had no idea that you did not get a call.
Nope. Did not.
Okay. I have thoughts. Now, did they go? We don't know if they went with another candidate or if the role just was cut. We don't know.
I think that the role was cut and then rescoped to something at a lower level. I noticed that like months later.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then the love bombing, however.
And this was like right around the pandemic. So height of the, everything was in, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Markets up and down.
Yeah.
People losing their jobs. So it was like a job elimination or job goes on hold, right? Something like that.
Okay. Because the love bombing was coming from the recruiter, from the executive search firm, not inside the firm, right?
No, this actually was an inside the firm one, this recruiter.
Oh, the recruiter was inside? Because why was she giving salesy, sales, I'm getting this sale.
Because she's probably trying to close. I mean, a lot of the recruiters, particularly inside organizations, feel a lot of pressure, right? There are a lot of big companies where they have executive recruiting functions. Like, this recruiter's job is only to hire executives, right? Okay. So they can they actually can sometimes function almost like a search firm, but internally, if that makes sense.
Well, it felt like it. It felt like it was giving, she's trying to sell it. She's trying to get this a really big win for the client, but because it was internal. Okay. So then just the pressure of delivering internal. I don't know. I just think that's really interesting. She sounded like she's trying to, I don't know, either a cross between really wanting you to have the opportunity and wanting to do well. Like, her success was really, it was connected to the success of the candidate in the role. And so, you know, that's some of it, I think. And then the other part of it is, I don't know, let me see, what do I want to say about the other side of this and what showed up for me in loving? I'm going to go back to just wanting to get the sale, even if it was an internal sell, and knowing that, you know, it would be a win and a feather in her cap if she did a placement.
Yes.
Feather in her cap for a high level placement. I think, but here's one thing that you said, and the language sometimes is, I don't know how I feel about it, but, oh, this would be a great role for you. I know it's a nuance. I don't know, but sometimes when I hear that, I don't know, it makes.
Versus you would be great for this role.
Right.
Versus that. Would be an incredible addition to the team. You and your expertise and background
There you go.
Yes, there's something.
This would be a great something.
No, there's the power, privilege, and dynamics that we always talk about. That's what it is. The dynamics of power and privilege. What's interesting about this article, you know, one of the things that goes on to say, and you've talked about this, I wanted to bring this up, is that, you know, I think it's a strange market right now. There are a lot of layoffs still happening. We're thinking about all of you, and please go back to some of our episodes. We talk about how your next job is out there waiting for you. We know it's a tough market. Yep. There's also a lot of jobs open too. It's interesting, right? There's an interesting dynamic in the marketplace where there are also still jobs open and still companies that are having trouble filling what they would define as like hard to fill roles. And so companies and recruiters who are the ambassadors of the companies want to show off their best self, relentlessly positive, right? But yeah. imagine this, true story, not my story, someone else's. Uh-huh. You show up for a high level job, you show up, there are crumbs on your desk.
Wait.
Cable's not working, Wi-Fi's not working, your laptop hasn't been set up, no one takes you out for lunch. True story, not mine, but someone else's. Yeah, woman of color, executive, shows up. So imagine how this person has been courted for this role. And then you walk in and you're like, what? And you've talked about this. Reporting lines changing, budgets all of a sudden gone, direct reports gone. It was like rug was pulled out from under you. Here I am.
Hashtag.
Yes. I'm selling you, DC Marshall. This is the most amazing job for you.
Yeah, for you. I think this will be good for you.
And then you come in and you're like, wait, there's crumbs on my desk. Where's my Wi-Fi? Where's the admin? Why no one could take me out to lunch on my first day? What? And then you're like, oh, sorry, the headcount's frozen. You actually can't hire and we had budget cuts. I mean, this is, please, anyone listening, just don't do that to anybody. I don't know why that continues to still happen.
Yeah.
Promises of work from home, remote flexibility, all these, you know, all of a sudden all this stuff's gone that you were promised in the interview process.
Yeah, because it's like, what do you do about that?
What do you do about that?
We too have had too many calls of clients. So like the owner and the executive sponsor within the organization, they're in a role and they believe they were going to be promoted or, an increase or in place promotion or something. And then it doesn't happen. And so then I get the call, Dee, can I call you offline? It's not funny, but
he gets a lot of calls like that. Yeah.
Unfortunate. I really do.
Yeah. I think there's a distinction what you're saying. Really interesting. You can be the recipient of love bombing internally. I mean, how many times have I been told, oh, you're up for the VP job. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Mita, everybody's rooting for you. Never happens, right? And you move on. But they keep saying that to you to make sure you stay. They keep saying all the right things, but there's no action. So there's that kind of love bombing. But then there's the piece of like, I left company A to come to company B on a set of promises. And I show up and within the first week, it's clear that none of those things that the employer promised me are being delivered on. What do you do then, Dee? How do you approach that conversation when all the things that you've talked about that matter, budget, title, reporting line, P&L, budget. Oh, sorry. Whoops.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's really a hard one. I think you just have to be prepared for, I think you have to demand for what you want or hold space for that. And you have to ask. I think you have to challenge it, right? But then you have to be prepared for it doesn't happen. What are you going to do? I had a client whose pension or what was it? There was something within the compensation package promised. But when she got there, they're like, oh, yeah, no, we don't do that. Yeah. And it was something. Look, it's your face. And I mean, it was bad. It was, yeah, we don't do that here.
You don't do that?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You've taught me this love bombing. Love bombing, it better be in writing. I want the written love note. You love me so much, I want it in writing. I want the pension, the whatever. I want it in writing so that when I start, I have evidence. It wasn't you whispered it in my ear.
Yeah.
Love you so much. You're like, no, I have it in writing. This is what we agreed to. This is the contract.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life, a promise that pays off.
Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Fields. Tune into my podcast for conversations about the sweet spot between work, meaning, and joy. And also listen to other people's questions about how to get the most out of that thing we call work. Check out Spark wherever you enjoy podcasts.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. I think the bottom line is you just have to address it. You have to ask. You have to really, you know, go back and say, wherever the negotiating line was, I think in a certain window, that's an HR conversation in a certain window. And then I think in their certain window, that's your direct reporting. But when you're within a short window of timing, you just accepted a deal that was negotiated there, I think you have to go back to wherever the negotiating line was. And then if you're already embedded within the organization and it's a promotion or a promise of, then you have to go back to the reporting line. I think this is tricky because you have to have a direct conversation. I don't think allies would be privy to that level of detail to advocate on your behalf. And I think it even gets sticky if you, I don't know that that's the role of the ally, because see, as a professional, you have to be able to stand up and speak up for yourself, because
you
that's
have
also
to. Your
posture
to.
Of a leader.
Absolutely.
So, because see, here's the deal. That's the posture of a leader. If I'm not a leader, let's just play this out. If I've been promised something and you didn't, I'm still waiting. I can't. I ask you, Mita, to go to Warren. Warren is our producer behind the scenes. Or Rich. They're going to look differently on me. It's going to immediately lower the perception and the level of me, because I'm not the person managing and holding the conversation. So, I mean, that's how I would advise responding to love bomb, love, love, love you, love you, love you. Let's get married. And now we're married. And dude, you're not like delivering. So, yeah.
I think that there's two things that came up for me. Is one, as you said, as the individual, the professional, I, Mita, being love bombed, being promised all of this stuff by Warren, the recruiter. I needed that all in writing. I need all of it in writing.
Then
EC Marshall, who's the hiring manager, why don't you sit down with me and review all the things? Or I could ask for that meeting. You know, I always do this. Once I get an offer, I ask for more meetings.
You always ask for more meetings. That's awesome. Did you put that in your new book?
I didn't. I should have. Next book.
That has to be. Okay.
But seriously, you have to. So then I can cut out Warren, who's the recruiter, the intermediary. I can go to D directly and say, hey, I'm really excited about this offer. Just have loved this process. I'd love to sit down one more time with you and review the details. Because then I'm going to really figure out what D is really ready to put into writing and what was just part of the courtship. That she brought me in, and she's like, oh, sorry, actually, I'm not going to do A, B, and C, but I can do X, Y, and Z. And that's where the negotiation starts. But do you know, in this market, would you be suspicious about love bombing? And let me share the story, D. It was on LinkedIn. I won't share who posted it. It was public. But a woman of color said that she was asked to join a very prestigious university board, and she was really excited. And she went to one of the first meetings and a dinner, and she walked in and realized everyone who was there on this board was, as she identified, an older white man. She was a woman of color. And she chose not to take the opportunity because she felt like she had to say no and draw boundaries. She just didn't want to have to expend the emotional, mental energy justifying why she had been invited to be there. So do you think our Brown Table Talk listeners, we Black women, Brown women, should be more suspicious about love bombing?
100% be more suspicious, because we are an attractive option. I know somebody is going to be like, I know she didn't just say that. I did, right? Because one, let me back up. We do good work. We're smart and intelligent, and we are innovative, and we are trendsetters, culture leaders, gatekeepers. And so one, there's value already there at a base level.
Yes.
Right. But on top of that, as a woman and a woman of color, we are a value add to fill a gap that currently exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's often why there may be a pursuit or love bombing. So we should absolutely be curious and investigate when we, you know, when there's a real aggressive courtship, or we should chat. So yeah, and then I'll give you the third part of that. I said, one, we're smart, we're intelligent, and we, you know, we bring the same, if not more, skills, competency, KBJ, Ketanji Brown, just pull up the receipts, okay? Right, if you look at the scorecard, she was the most qualified. And so because we do we do that, but then because we add another perspective. And so typically on that, in that case, there's an all white male board. The value of that woman of color is that the cognitive diversity to be able to bring a different thought, a different perspective, a different network, a different access, vantage point. Everything is unique, and it's additive. It's not duplicative, because the board up until her, if the score of their combined competencies was 90, she comes in as a solo, she's going to add her 25 points. Absolutely. If she was a white male, they would just still have the same 90, if that makes sense. But the third piece of this as to why we should think about it is because we are high value proposition. The moment the election, or the moment a brown woman, a black brown woman, was elected the vice president of these United States. So that is the third reason why we should think about this love bombing. If we're being pursued, oh, this would be a great opportunity for you, you should really consider this, or we really want you here. They really want you. In some instances, you're a placeholder, a token, only while you serve. You only serve the interests of the entity. Now, I have a response as to when and why you might consider it, but I'll pause there.
Ooh, that sounds like another episode. Tee that up. Oof. All right. I'm going to sip my tea as we go.
Sip your tea, because here's what I do want to say. There are instances where you should consider it. So when you want to hear about that, ask me the question. I'll tell you when you should consider that.
Okay, I'm just gonna leave it there, because that's okay. Gonna take us to another episode. But that's a hot topic.
Yeah. Let's write that down. When you should take the opportunity.
When you're the only.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the only. Yes. Let's do it. You heard it here first. All right. We're gonna head to our tips, Dee. We're at the end. I know you love these topics of all these new terms in the marketplace and how we're interrogating them. Love bombing. Okay.
I do.
We're going to head to the tip.
Yes.
Love them. Okay, Dee, if you can take us through one and two, go for it.
All right. So I'll share here. And then I am going to share the tips on browntabletalkpodcast.com. I'll share the notes. So number one is be curious. Absolutely. You should be curious, inquisitive, to get insight as to why you are the subject of a love pursuit. Number two, as Mita says, get the offer, and then you can just ask for another meeting. So entertain the offer that's on the table, but also ask for additional meetings to further vet the opportunity. All right, so Mita, number three is...
get it in writing. If you love me so much, you're going to write it up for me. I want it in writing. I want it in a contract. I want all the things you're going to promise us if you love us that much. Get it in writing. Thank you to our community, Brown Table Talk. We love you. Thank you to the LinkedIn Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this conversation, please share it with someone who needs to hear it today. We would love for you to subscribe and review, and we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.